Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
Now, seeking out novel, exciting experiences, learning new things and engaging with people are all very important as ways of helping us to lead enjoyable and healthy lives. But they might even be more important than that. Ian Robertson is Professor of Psychology at Trinity College in Dublin. He's here to tell us more. You also want to talk to us later or in a few minutes, Ian, about some research you're doing and you think people might be able to help. But first of all, this idea of keeping our brain active, and it's a means of delaying or at least avoiding dementia.
Yeah, there's a remarkable finding, Sean, that some people can have a lot of the post-mortem, can have a lot of the signs of dementia in their brains, but have shown no signs of it in life. They seem to have kept functioning really well. So there's this disconnect between, if you like, the disease and the behaviour. And it seems to be the case that people who do certain things with their life seem to be able to build what we call a reserve in their brain that gives a certain protection, not guaranteed, and it won't necessarily prevent it in everyone, a certain protection against dementia.
And are there trends that indicate that this disease, dementia, is going to be an increasing issue for society?
I'm afraid it is, and it's one of the benefits of our best improving health and improving longevity. I mean, half the girls in Dublin born today will live to 100, baby girls. And so we're going to have this enormously expanded lifespan. But the trouble is, dementia incidence increases with age steadily. And so we're going to get this epidemic of what's currently an untreatable disease, unless we do something about it.
And obviously staying engaged, staying involved, but also taking on new experiences brings about, I think it's called the activation of something called noradrenaline, if I pronounce it correctly.
That's right, noradrenaline. So noradrenaline is it's the fight or flight hormone that activates us if we see something interesting or frightening. And someone you haven't seen for 30 years in the street, and you get that surge of, oh my goodness, I haven't seen that person so long. So it's a general kind of wake-up drug in the brain. And it has remarkable properties, however, because as long as it doesn't become too much with too much stress, it acts as a kind of fertilizer for the brain. It helps the brain form new connections. And in animal studies, remarkably, actually acts as a kind of antidote to the toxic chemicals, toxic proteins.
Sounds
associated
like something we should all want to trigger. So how are we going to do that?
Well, how we do that is by building a number of lifestyle factors. One is getting out the rut, doing things we haven't done before. One of the biggest triggers of noradrenaline is novelty. So a lot of the time we're in a kind of rut. We do the same things, and that puts our brain into predictive mode. Our brain likes familiarity, and when things happen in a very predictable way, we don't have a huge amount of attention to them. It's when we go to a holiday to a different place and suddenly time seems to slow and we seem to be really attracted by the different sights and smells. These effects in our brain are quite powerful, and they're mediated by noradrenaline. So if we do that within limits, if we increase the activation in our brain, we will improve function to some
extent. Yeah,
because
I'm wondering, the idea of change is something a lot of people, or at least some people, find very, very stressful. So where does the balance lie?
Well, you see, there's a balance between stress and challenge. So what we need is to build a bit of challenge into our lives. Now, sometimes you get, for instance, if you could have an older person who's living successfully at home, a small stressful event, like maybe having to go into hospital for a couple of days, can tip the balance and make it harder for them to cope anymore at home. So for an older person living at the limits of the resources, even a little change can be stressful. So we have to be careful about this. But for people who are not in that situation, you want to provide food for your brain. And the greatest food is novelty. And one of the greatest sources of novelty is curiosity. So if we can foster curiosity and be interested in the world, that will keep our brain alive, keep noradrenaline going, and that is likely to have very positive effects.
You've done a few things yourself. We'll talk about New York in a minute, but what else have you done?
Well, I mean, about 2 years ago, I joined the Guinness Choir, and I sing in that now, which is an amazing source of challenge because they're very good, and I have to I have to up my game in terms of learning how to sight read better, which I can do partially. Spent a glorious 4 months in New York, which really opened my eyes.
Yes, you wrote a blog in which you describe it as something or as having had quasi-neurological effects.
Yeah, it was astonishing. One thing about New York is you meet a 70-year-old who says, "Oh, I need to change my career. I'm going to go and do some job training." People have no, in America, partly because they don't have the same pension system as here, they don't have this artificial age upper limit. So there's completely different expectations. And so they don't limit themselves. And that's for someone like me who's 63, that's enormously liberating.
Yeah, we had Leon Panetta on the programme last Tuesday. And at the age of 72, he took on the job of Secretary of Defence in the Obama administration, in charge of over 1 million people.
Exactly. So, you know, it's one of the curses of good pension systems. It can age people. So, for instance, we know from research by someone in the longitudinal study in ageing here, Deirdre Robertson, she's found that people with negative expectations of ageing, over a 2-year period, they start to walk more slowly. So they start to age themselves unnecessarily.
That doesn't last long in New York or doesn't get you very far.
No.
So what happened in your case?
Well, I found, one thing about big cities, the bigger the city, the faster you walk. So it's not a very relaxing place, but it's an incredibly stimulating place. So I went there in just a 4-month sabbatical, and I found myself just not getting tired. I found myself going to films, going to completely new places that really stimulated me and ended up just making me feel younger. So I think it was not just the fact that New York has got this expectation about age, it's also just that novelty, doing something completely different.
I think I read somewhere that you thought you maybe had an extra decade to live as a result of that experience.
I do still think that's the case. Funnily enough, I think I feel younger now at 63 than I probably did at 43.
What do you think is responsible for that? Just, is it your openness to doing new things like you've talked about?
I mean, there's no doubt about it that the critical ingredients for age are challenge, change and learning.
Now, the idea of spending 4 months in New York is a wonderful idea, very appealing, possible for an academic to get a sabbatical.
Yeah.
So for the rest of us who don't have that option,
what
are the alternatives that maybe can have the same effect?
Well, there's no time in life where you cannot learn a new musical instrument, a new foreign language, learn to take up hurling. Maybe not hurling. Maybe that's the skill level's too high there.
Start going to the gym.
Definitely the gym. Aerobic exercise. That has effects on the brain, which are quite remarkable. Actually physically grows the brain. And so everyone should do aerobic exercise. Yeah.
And presumably getting to know new people, or maybe even reacquainting ourselves with old friends.
Yeah, the greatest challenge to our brain are other people. They can be the greatest source of stress, the greatest source of stimulation, and so new friends. Yeah.
Now, this research you're conducting.
Yeah, so we're studying people who are having to look after a spouse or a partner who has dementia, and that can be a very stressful thing to do. So we're very keen to, we're doing a study of them. We come to their homes, and we're doing this so we can try and improve it. So if anyone is over 50 and is looking after someone with dementia, a partner or a spouse, we would love to hear from you anywhere in the country.
A parent even?
No, it's got to be a spouse.
Okay.
Got to be a spouse. And so if they could phone, email my colleague Maria Pertl, Maria, M-A-R-I-A, dot Pertl, P-E-R-T-L.
P-E-R-T-L, yes.
Yeah, at tcd.ie.
Okay.
And they can phone her at 01-896-8414.
Okay, we'll put those details up on our website or on our webpage, but it's maria.pertl, M-A-R-I-A dot P-E-R-T-L at tcd.ie, and then the number of Dublin 1-896-8414.
That's it.
Well, the best of luck with that. And how many people do you want to hear from? Or how many people might participate in the study?
Well, we've recruited several hundred already. A couple of hundred already. We need another 80 or so. So,
good luck with that. I suspect there'll be a big reaction to that.
Yeah.
Ian Robertson, Professor of Psychology at Trinity College Dublin. Thank you very much indeed for coming in.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.